Good morning, folks. We are starting this morning in Genesis 4:1, and this is the story of Cain and Abel. Two individuals were born of Adam and Eve, and it's a very interesting story. So let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning before we start. And Father, we thank you so very much for the grace supplied to us through the finished work of the cross. We thank you for the country that you supplied us to grow and nurture us, allow us to come to this truth of how you gave your son some 2,000 years ago to die on a cross, come and live 33 years of perfect life, be the perfect servant, to do exactly what you would have him do, to never do anything wrong, to never sin in his life, and to willing to give himself up as a sacrifice to us on the cross, that those that who believe in that finished work of the cross shall be allowed to become sons and daughters. Father, we don't deem to understand it, but we know that out of your love, you made a way out for each one of us. We're going to be studying today a couple of men that early on was, at least one of them was buried in his own sin, and he could have had a way out too, but he chose to go a different way. Father, we thank you for the work of the cross that you did for us. We ask that as we go forth that you would be with us, that you would give us understanding through the Holy Spirit, that you would grow us up and allow us to go forth and be able to proclaim your name and your word as we walk through our lives. And I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Genesis 4:1. It goes on to say, well, now Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. Now, I've read some commentaries on this, and it kind of the thing, you know, whenever Eve had Cain, she thought that he was going to be the promised seed at that particular time. You know, because what did he say to about her seed? He will crush your head and you will bruise his heel. Right? She thought that this was the magic bullet that was going to take care of that evil devil. And it's amazing how sometimes we can be wrong with what we think, right? Isn't that true sometimes with us? Sometimes we think we know something, then we find out that we don't know as much as we thought we knew. And we need to be able to understand that that's going to weigh us in Scripture too. Don't be dogmatic about everything you know. Sometimes a little bit you know is more dangerous than the stuff you don't know. So let's go through and let's see what the Scripture says. And it says, for Adam knew his wife, she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again, she bore his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and Cain was a worker of the ground. Does that mean that Cain's work was any less than Abel's work? They're both living in a fallen world, right? But it's Cain gravitated toward wanting to farm. I don't see how people do that, because every time I plant something, it comes up brown instead of green. I don't think so. I don't read that in the Scripture. It says, in the Scripture, it says, I've gotten a man. Then again, she bore his brother. So I don't think it was. So, It says, in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. So in the course of time, during at a set time, he would brought an offering to the Lord. Now, a lot of people, a lot of the commentaries I wrote said there was a difference between the word offering here and sacrifice. The word offering here, and I was told, I read, goes back to the Hebrew where it means a gift. So he's bringing a gift to God. Okay? Take that for what it means. I'm just telling you some information I got. It said, over the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering. But for Cain, his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. Now, a key question here is why. Everybody wants to know why, right? Everybody speculates why. I've got a whole thing right here on speculation. It's kind of neat, so let's look about it. So, it says, why did God, and this is somebody else's thing, I'm just going to let y'all know. It says, why did God sacrifice Abel and reject the sacrifice of Cain? The author of this particular document says there's four main views. One, God's sovereignty. Could God in his sovereignty decide that he was going to accept one and not accept the other one? Does God have that right? He's God. He counsels with himself. He knows what's going to go on. He has that right. That could be true, could it not? Another opinion. It wasn't a blood sacrifice. Huh? Huh? I couldn't have said. So the question here that the lady asked is this, what was required of this sacrifice by God? Was this a requirement that it should need to be a blood sacrifice? Yes? How do we know? But the scripture says they were bringing a gift or an offering to the Lord, not a sacrifice. It says, during the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of the flock and the fat their portions, and the Lord had regard for Abel's offering. Is this a sacrifice or an offering? You see how you can take and you can read into things. We need to be careful what we're reading in from what we know from the future. Okay? How do we know he did? There we go. We're speculating again, aren't we, Coach? What could I not also say that to you? You said that could be a pattern, correct? For the sacrifice that was given to cover cover Adam and Eve. Could I also say to you that that's God that made that sacrifice? What makes you think man should make that sacrifice too? We don't know that God told him to do that. Yes, ma'am. Well, and we're going to get there. We're going to get there. I'm hitting one at a time. We're going to get there. Trust me, okay? But so we don't know. We're not given the backstory as to what was required, are we? So how do we decide? Can we say that the reason why it wasn't brought because it wasn't a blood sacrifice? I'm not saying that can't be the reason. What I'm saying is that I don't have enough information here to draw that conclusion, do I? Be careful what we read into our Bibles, ladies and gentlemen. That's the question I'm talking about right now. Why is God rejecting the sacrifice? Well, why is God rejecting the offering? Again, it's not a sacrifice. It doesn't say that. It says it's an offering. So why is God rejecting the offering? That's what we're delving into at this particular time. So there's some people out there that says because it was a non-blood sacrifice. There's a third view out there. Poor quality. Because what did Abel do? Abel brought, and it says Cain brought the fruits of the ground. And what did Abel bring? Notice it says that Abel brought the firstborn of his flock and the fat portions. Let me tell you something. When you're cooking a brisket, the fat is in everything, okay? You let that fat render down over that meat, and it gives it flavor. And then you take that fat meat, you throw it in some beans when you get done, cook them things for about 8 hours on a slow cooker, and you got you some good eats. Yeah, go back to brisket. I can turn almost, I relish in the idea of being able to turn scripture to smoking meats. Anyway, but you see, so there's this idea out there, the quality. Understand, there's some people out there that says that Cain brought whatever he had. He dipped into the larder and he figured out something and he just brought it up there and threw it out there for God to have. And Abel's decided that he was going to bring his best. And you can see that there's an idea there, right? Is that the reason? We don't know. And then the fourth one is the one that we're bringing up. It's attitude. Attitude. How the reasons for and why Cain brought the things to there. What was his attitude? What was his reasoning for doing this? What was his mindset? Interesting, isn't it? Now, could we say that in if we look to the furthering of the sacrifices that do come later on that God mandates, does God allow the fruit of the ground to be a sacrifice? So, if he allows the fruit of the ground later on, then what makes you think he would not allow the fruit of the ground now? So that kind of nails away for whether it's going to be a blood sacrifice or not, right? That kind of, well, and later on, if God offered and said it was good enough later on, then what makes it not good enough now? He's kind of lean off into that. Okay. Now, so the question is, why was he rejected? Mine was Cain rejected. And again, we go back to, was it God's sovereign choice? God's sovereign choice. Was it the blood sacrifice? We see was it not his best that was being put out there? Was it the best stuff he could do? Was it the wrong motives of his offering? Only thing we can go to, if we look at Scripture, to put Scripture out there, what does it say in Hebrews 11:4? I get the wrong one. Hebrews 11:4. It says in Hebrews 11:4, it says, by faith Abel offered up to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. What did Abel have that Cain did not? What did he show to God that Cain did not? He had faith. But it says in Scripture that Abel had faith. That's the reason why he's one of these, heroes of faith. Cain did not offer it up by faith. That goes to what attitude, right, that we talked about later on. And I think there's credence there to that. Again, why was Cain's offering denied and Abel's offering accepted? It could be any of those reasonings right there, ladies and gentlemen. And we don't give enough information, but if you run into Scripture and you compare Scripture to Scripture, I know for a fact that it later on in Hebrews, we run all the way up to the New Testament, it says that by faith, Abel gave his offering, and it was accepted. Yes, sir, Coach. Lack of faith, right? And we'll see that a little bit later on, I think. I think, Coach, we can lean into that a little bit. So, it's interesting all the different ways. And like I said, there's always going to be some out there that say, why did God do this and why did God do that? Let me tell you something. Any of those information, you could come up with good reasons for any one of those questions out there. Whether he did it by his own authority, God has the authority to do that. Whether he did it because it was the wrong type of offering, God has the right to request any offering he wants. You know, any one of those particular reasons. So, but we know for a fact that the offering that Cain had, that Abel had, God had regard for that. But the offering that Cain brought to him, God had no regard. And what was Cain's idea? What should have been his response? God, why was this not this way? Teach me. I need to understand why I'm not satisfying your needs. But what was his reaction? He got mad. Let me ask you a question. Who do we have any teachers in here? Anybody's ever taught? I'm talking about school or anything. I don't think we have. You have teachers. Okay, Coach. Have you ever had to give somebody a bad grade? How many do you see different reactions from different individuals that have bad grades? So you have some individuals, whenever they got a bad grade, would come to you and say, how did this happen? How do I make this up? How do I get this grade? How do I take care of this bad grade, right? You've had individuals do that, correct, Coach? And then at the same time, you've had other people coming up, or even other people's parents coming up and saying, how could you give this bad grade to me? It's your fault. I didn't deserve this. I should be getting that better grade. I did all this, right? So they have a self-worth that's above what the worth is really of their that the person that makes the judgment. Yes, ma'am. You see, so what was Cain's reaction? Cain's reaction is he got mad. He got mad and his face fell. In other words, he got upset at God and it's like, I'm being persecuted here. God, I brought this stuff to you. You should be happy. I took my time to gather all this stuff up and bring it to you. You should be happy. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why has your face fallen? In other words, God come to Cain. He's like, you know, I can see him putting his hand around the boy. Cain, why are you mad? I know you're mad. I know everything. Why are you mad? He lost his countenance. He says, if you do well, not be accepted. And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. In other words, if you do what's right, I will accept you. But if you choose to walk the wrong path, sin is sitting out there at the door. It's like a crouching tiger or that sneaky little serpent that's out there ready to get a hold of you and bite you and enthrall you. And it says, its desire is contrary to you. In other words, that sin out there, even though it looks good, does not have your best interest at heart. That beautiful picture that's painted for you out there ain't true. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. God's saying to him, if you do right, I'm going to accept you. But if you do wrong, it's consequences. It's sitting out there, and it's not good stuff that's going to happen. There's nothing good in that world that's going to happen if you go against what I have you do, what I want for you to do. So, a little bit of time went on past. I'm sure Cain was still stewing over this, but we see the outcome of it. It says, Cain spoke to his brother Abel. So we're all the way down to 4:8. And understand, how do you think Cain and Abel are right now? The commentary says they're probably 100. Now, I don't do the Nile. I'm not doing all that. But we're going to get into the genealogies later on, okay? And understand that some of these people in the Old Testament lived to be 900 years. Think how much you would have saw if you were born 930. I concur with that. What I'm saying is that put in perspective how long these people were living at that particular time. Because it was a perfect world. And it wasn't a perfect world, but God designed the world as being perfect. And the sin is like a cancer. It continues. The longer it goes, the worse it is. You know, sin starts as a little cell. I mean, cancer starts as a little cell, right? And then it grows, grows, and grows. And if nothing's done about it, it will continue to grow till it kills the host. Now, again, we're not saying that it was a sacrifice. They said it was an offering. So, words mean something. So let's just go. I don't know. So let's. I don't want to get bogged down. So Cain spoke to his brother Abel, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. So Cain, being that he was upset at God for not accepting, for God not showing worth in his offering, stewed about it to the point that he killed his brother simply because God gave more worth to Abel's offering than Cain's. The logic seems to be a little flawed there, folks. Yes, ma'am. I don't know. Again, I'm speculating. I don't know. I just know there was nothing good involved in it because it ended up with his brother dying. So, evidently, he wasn't listening too much to God, was he? Because God just told him, he said, hey, you know, if you do it well, if you do well, I'll accept you. But if not, sin lieth at the door. Yes, ma'am. So, yes, sir. Amazing, isn't it? Just to a test, and I'm as guilty of this as anybody, how much time do you spend in the Word daily, and how much time do you spend in the Word? How much time? By choice. Sometimes when you're at work, you have to do the work that's prescribed. God knows that there's times for us to work. There's times, free times, when we could give our time to study in Him or spending time with Him, and we choose to do what we want to do, right? And I think that's leading to a little bit of what you were getting at there. So, we got Cain. Golly, it got loud. We got Cain, who rose up and slew his brother. Okay? Now, then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel your brother? Now, do we not think that God knew where Abel his brother was? So let's look at this from God's point of view. He comes along and he says to Cain, he's like, where's Abel your brother? Now, how many people have had children? And you walk in and the cake mix is all over the floor in the kitchen. And you're like, what happened here? What did little kids say? I don't know. If they get really good, it's like, there was a Bigfoot that stepped in through the back door. You see, the God's coming to him and says, where is your brother? We do the same thing with our children, do we not? We give those children a chance to step up and say what they did. You hope your children would say, hey, Mom, I thought I could make a cake as good as you. And so I got out all this stuff, and I turned on that beater, and stuff just went everywhere. But a lot of times they'll say, I don't know. It was, Joey over there. Joey, I was in here trying to make a cake, and Joey was running through, and the broom fell on the floor, and he tripped over the broom, and he knocked the mixer over. It really wasn't anybody's fault. It just, bad things happen. That's kind of the way we do, right? We kind of hide from the bad things that we won't put out there. And we can hide it from each other to a point. Believe me, you don't want to see what's in my heart. Thank God I have a Savior that can hear that sort of stuff. Because what does Paul say? Paul says that he does the things that he knows he shouldn't do, and he doesn't do the things he knows he ought to do. And if it happens to Paul, don't you think it's going to happen to me and you too? I always put Paul on a pedestal, but that's just kind of what I do. So, God comes down, he's walking through the garden, and he finds Cain. He's like, where's your brother Abel? And instead of Cain saying, God, I was so mad at you. I did a bad thing. Confessing to God, what does he say? I do not know. He goes to say, not only does he lie about he doesn't know, he says to God, who am I? Am I supposed to take care of that man? Am I his keeper? Am I responsible for his actions? Are you going to put that upon me too? I've got enough problems with myself. God, I don't need to deal with him too. Bad attitude, right? Bad attitude. And he comes to God. He says to God, he's like, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? I think the Lord was giving him a chance to confess right there. Change what he was doing. Walk down the road knowing that he wasn't going to. God knows everything. Isn't it amazing how God continually gives us an out and we just continually just don't take it? So, the Lord goes on and says, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying out to me from the ground. God says, I know exactly what you did. I can hear the voice of your brother's blood crying out from the ground right now. And what does it say later on? It says the life is in the blood. In other words, I know you killed your brother. I can hear him crying out right now. And it says, now, you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength, and you shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. So, now, whenever God cursed originally, they said that the thorns and thistles were going to come up and make working of the ground harder, right? Now, he's further cursed Cain individually, saying that when you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. In other words, he was a worker of the ground, right? He was a farmer. And he's saying, now, Cain, all of that stuff you were doing, all the way that you learned to bring up crops, gone. I'm taking that away from you. It's not going to yield to you. When it says not yield to its strength, what does it mean? Don't grow. It's going to be like me. Everything he plants in the ground comes up brown. He's taken away Cain's livelihood at this particular time. That's how Cain took and lived, right? He grew things. And it says, shall no longer yield to you strength, and you shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. In other words, you're not going to have a place to lay your head. You're going to be a fugitive. You're going to be an outcast everywhere you go. And you're going to wander. You're not going to be able to put down stakes anywhere. Yes, sir. Yeah. And then Cain, what was Cain's reaction to this? The punishment is greater than I can bear. Wait a second, Cain, you killed your brother. You took another man's life, but the punishment is too much for you to bear. We have people right now that have, we'll take and we will throw people in jail for shooting a dog. But we'll let child molesters back out and trying to say, yeah, well, it's the system making them do it. Isn't it funny how this thing's going to, you can see it here. He's like, well, wait a second, God. Even though I killed somebody, the punishment you give me is too much for me. Let me tell you something. The only punishment was due to him would be probably be death. And we take and we treat the same way, do we not? We treat people that should give up their lives for things they do, and we don't punish them at all. Look at what's happening in our cities around the United States nowadays. You have a bodega owner in New York City that fights back and he kills somebody that is threatening him with a knife and a bit. You know, he's a 60-something-year-old guy, immigrant that's here, and you have a young black man that is coming behind the counter with a knife. The guy takes it and he kills him, and the guy gets thrown into jail for it, for defending himself. Have we changed? Look how we are nowadays, guys. Are we any better? Yes, ma'am. The attitude is that nobody wants to take responsibilities for their own. And Cain wasn't taking responsibility for his action, was he? He's saying, God, he's like, this punishment you give me is too much. I'm not going to be able to bear it. It says, behold, you have driven me today away from the ground. In other words, you've taken away my livelihood. I was a farmer, God, and you have cut me off from my livelihood. I can't grow. And what did you say, Ruth? I can't get a job, right? I can't get a job. Because the government has said you can't have to disclose who you are and what you've done. So Cain says, God, you've driven me off of my land. I can't even farm the ground anymore. And from your face I shall be hidden. He understood that God was still taking care of him at that time. He's like, now you're not even going to look at me. I'm going to be separated from you. Feel lost right there, does he not? He says, I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. Now, there must be more people on the earth than Cain and Abel. Understand, they're like 130 years old right now. When they had children, don't think that they stopped at Cain and Abel. Adam and Eve continued to have children at that particular time, and they were replenishing the earth, so they were continuing to have children. They had other children. Why does God not tell us about the other children? It's not important to the story. It would just lead us astray down rabbit holes, and we can't even get what God gives us right. We don't need to add addition and stuff, okay? This is, God tells us what we need to do because He's walking down through, He's trying to show you the line all the way from Adam. So, whoever finds me will kill me. Then the Lord said to him, "Not so. If anyone kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken upon him sevenfold." And the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest any who found him should attack him. What's that mark? What's the mark? I've heard the mark of Cain. What is the mark of Cain? Nobody knows. We have to admit when we don't know, right? Is it important? No, but we know for a fact, whatever mark God put on him, everybody else knew to leave them alone, that man alone. The mark of Cain was really worse for him because now, not only did it show people that saw him that he was not favored by God, but now they were not going to lay a hand against him or on him for fear that there would be there would be sevenfold return upon them. This man was now going to live the rest of his life away from God, away from his profession, trying to live a life that's hard and toil. Yes, sir. But God put a mark on it to say that it wasn't going to happen. Yep. Yeah. So we're going to move on. I got a little bit more time. It says, "And Cain went away from the presence of the Lord and settled in a land called a land of Nod, east of Eden." So he went up east of Eden to Nod. "And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. When he built a city, he called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch." So Cain went out and he went east to the land of Nod and he built him a city. He couldn't garden anymore, so he had to go build him a city and live in a city somewhere. Now, nobody wants to live in New York City. We love living in Mineola better. That's what we like doing. Enough said. Okay. So, he went to the city and he could say he knew his wife. In other words, he had relationships with his wife and they had a child named Enoch, and they named the city after son Enoch. And Enoch was born Irad, and Irad was the father of Mahiliel, and Mahiliel fathered Methusaleel. I hope I said these right. Methusaleel fathered Lamech. Okay, now Lamech took two wives. You see the degradation that's going on all the way down through Cain. Now, whenever God said a man shall leave his wife, leave his mother and his father and cleave to, Anybody know which scripture that is? Huh? Cleave to his wife and they should become one flesh. This is the first time in scripture that God talks about multiple wives in a marriage. Now, speaking of a man that's been married for nearly 40 years, women are too much trouble to have two of them. Okay? My wife has ruined me for all other women. If anything ever happens to her, I don't want another one of y'all. But all, that's all kind, that's all jovial and stuff. But God never intended for man to have multiple wives. But you see, going down this line of Cain, see how that cancer has started metastasizing? And down that line, you see what happens. And so he gets a couple of generations down to Lamech, and Lamech takes two wives. One is named Ada, and the other one's named Zillah. And Zillah bore Jubal, which was the father of those who dwelt in tents and have livestock. So evidently this man had an industry of a herder, a sheep herder, a livestock. He lived in tents and he moved around with livestock. Again, Cain wasn't able to put himself in one place, was he? You see how this curse is going down? And it says, his brother's name was Jubal, and he was the father of those who played the lyre and the pipe. And then Zillah bore Tubal-Cain, and he was the forger of all instruments of bronze and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Neama. Now, it's interesting. This is early on in history, right? And they're already working with iron. And if you look later on into the Jewish writings, even into the time of David, they haven't started working with iron at that particular time. But all the way back before the flood, they've already started working with iron. You see, well, we think that iron didn't come across to real later on, right? But we see in the Bible it's back all the way back some 5,000 years ago, 6,000 years ago. So, he was a worker. He made instruments and everything. So he made swords and everything. He was the first blacksmith. Okay. And Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, "Hear my voice, you wives. Listen to what I say. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for striking me." What did he say? He killed a man for wounding him. Evidently, this man did not deserve death. But in some way or another, he wounded him. He said, "A young man for striking me." He said, if Cain's revenge has been sevenfold, then Lamech's would be 77-fold. In other words, if what Cain did was wrong, mine is way wrong. But he basked in this. He's like, yeah. Dad did. Paul did it this way. I did it so much better. See how he's basking in the sin of what's going on, the sin of his forefathers. He's glorifying the sin of what thing. He's like, yeah, if Cain did it good, and he got seven. I'm 77, seven times that. Yes, sir. They're proud of it. They're proud of what they built. They're proud of their proud of their little cities and all this other stuff. And they have forgotten who God is. Then they glorify in what in going against what God would have them do. Is that not our civilization now? We can't have a cross on a public place. But we can have LBGQTJIF three times this, flags all over the place. You burn an American flag, it's freedom of speech. You burn a rainbow flag, it's hate speech. Some places you'll go to jail for that. It's amazing how much we've dropped, is it not? I talked to years a while back how we had our revolution. It was pretty much a bloodless revolution. There was no, compared to the other revolutions, you could see God's hand in making the United States. And we've fallen so much for what it was designed, what it was supposed to be. That don't mean it can't come back. We got to go back to God. We've taken God out of our courtrooms. We've taken God out of our legislator. We've taken God out of our schools. You know, they don't teach civics class in schools anymore. They don't teach people how the government works. Why? Because if they taught people how the government works, they would understand the government's not working like it's supposed to. And they would come down and they would know that when the President of the United States says, I'm going to give you all this money, they'd know that he doesn't have authority under the United States Constitution. We don't teach kids that anymore. Again, we're going down that same road. Take God out of everything, ladies and gentlemen. It goes on to say, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and called this son's name Seth. For she said, God has appointed for me another offspring instead of Abel, for Cain killed him. To Seth also a son was born and called him Enosh. At that time the people began to call upon the name of the Lord. Yes, sir. But it's important to note here that people did not begin to call upon the name Lord, or the name of the Lord, until Seth had his son Enosh. The whole society was going against God at that particular time until that time came along. I got one more comment from Ruth, and then I've got to close for this night. Yeah. I was looking at something on the news the other day. And Kirk Cameron, I think it was on there. And I think it was him. And he said that we need to get away from anybody raising the children except for the families. You know, we've given it to the states to raise the children. We're giving it to the schools to raise the children. Even to the point we've given it to the churches to raise the children. Understand, God gave you your children to raise up. And you need to raise your children in a godly way. And we don't need to rely upon, we shouldn't have to rely upon the church to teach our children who God is. We should be teaching that. And we shouldn't rely upon the state or the cities or the teachers to raise our children. But so many times we send our children off to school and let them be they're the babysitters. And when they come home, we stick one of these little things right here in front of their face and says, here, go play on this thing. Why? We're doing the same thing. The fruit don't fall far from the tree, does it? Maybe we need to think about ourselves and change ourselves a little bit, and then maybe we can change the world. Maybe we can change our family. Maybe we can change the children. Just my opinion. Anybody got anything else? Yes, sir. Anybody got anything else? Wesley, you want to close this morning, please, sir?